everyone, and welcome to the Work-Life Equation, a Bright Horizons podcast, the only podcast featuring candid conversations, stories, and strategies from corporate leaders, public figures, and everyday people like you and me who are putting the pieces together to make life work. I am one of your hosts, Christine Michelle Carter.
And I'm Priya Krishnan, the Chief Digital and Transformation Officer at Bright Horizons.
How have you been, Priya?
I've been great. How are you? You look fantastic.
Thank you so much. You know, it's another wig day. I'm living the dream. I'm very, very excited about this week's guest.
Likewise. I've always been inspired by music, so this is going to be a fun one.
Absolutely. But before everybody meets her, this week's Here We Go conversation, which for the new listeners, a Here We Go conversation is what other people call hot topics or dinner table topics. For me and Priya, it's not a dinner table because who eats with their kids around a dinner table? But it's something that makes you say, oh, here we go. Like, this is one of those parenting moments where the rubber is going to hit the road and it's going to be tough. And mine this week, Priya, was my daughter is so into the arts. She's into playing her violin. She's into videography and photography. So when she comes to sets with me, like the podcast taping, or when we've done magazine shoots, she's always so engrossed and just enamored with everything. But she doesn't see all of the technical drama. She doesn't see all of the blood, sweat, and tears involved. She doesn't know how hard it was to get to that point. And I'm always stuck between how do I let her pursue her dream without putting mud on it, without stomping on it, you know?
I have the same challenge because, you know, both Sanjay, my husband, and I are engineers, and our oldest son is gifted. He is exceptional at music. He is great at drama. He's wonderful at the performing arts. But there's a side to it, Christine, that I've watched over the years, which goes into how he expresses himself, you know, how his self-worth has gone up, you know, how confident he is. And there's a part of me that says, maybe I should have grown up, you know, having a lot more of the arts and the opportunities to express myself. So, you know, that's, while we encourage him, I feel there's a part of me which just wants to be more like him. So that's been the interesting aspect as I've watched it. So, you know, maybe that's a balance we all need to straddle as we move along.
Absolutely. These kids know the way. I always say Maya's my Shiro. She's really raising me. She's definitely the adult in the house, if you ask me. So I should take a page out of her book. Today's guest is an award-winning recording artist and Canadian Music Hall of Fame inductee, a trailblazing international icon with a nearly three decades long career. With six critically acclaimed studio albums, she has carved out her place in music worldwide and several genres. But what many people don't know is that alongside her illustrious career in music and acting, the Canadian-born mother of three has been recognized for her long-standing commitment to fighting back against marginalization and inequity. Welcome, Deborah Cox, to the Work-Life Equation.
Hi.
That's the best I can do.
How are you?
Wow, what an intro. Thank you. I'm great. Good to see you.
So, Deborah, you've been really, really busy. You just got the key to the city of Toronto. You've been inducted into the Canadian Walk of Fame. Yes. You're on the First Wives Club on BET. How are you doing all of this?
It's been a whirlwind. How am I doing it? I just put one foot in front of the other and I try to take it moment to moment. I try to not be overwhelmed, even though it can be, because, you know, getting all the logistics together is usually the hardest part. The easy part really is that 2 minutes doing the song or the little 1 minute, you know, speech or whatever, you know. But as you know, putting together, you know, moments like this takes a lot of planning and there's a lot of working around, a lot of moving parts. So I've just been trying to stay present, trying to take it all in, you know, and try to have fun.
Deborah, a lot of people may not know that your husband is your manager. This is a family business that you have built. And how are you managing to keep it together with raising teenagers and being in the industry? Can you even imagine like starting your career with a husband and kids? Like that you grew into that. You had already had your career, but how are you able to keep it all together and keep their schedules together? Like you said, it's about the logistics of it.
Yeah. That's a lot of questions, Christine.
I know. You know, I'm a fan. So I'm like, oh my God, I want to know everything. How in the world are you doing this? Like, they're teenagers. You know how teenagers are.
It takes a team. Like, it takes a lot of people. And sometimes you may not have all the people, you know what I mean? I know for us, we've had a lot of great family support. My in-laws help a lot. You know, they'll come. When the kids were younger, it was a lot more difficult, I think, in a sense, because we wanted to try to instill in them our values and our principles without relying on nannies. So for me, it was very important for me to be there for the moments, you know, the simple everyday moments, you know what I mean? And for my husband as well. And so I think we figured out a way that worked for us to keep that balance, to keep things in perspective, because, you know, you have to do that. You have to find a way to just let these kids understand that they are privileged, you know what I mean? Their lifestyle is very different from how I grew up and how my husband grew up. So we had to really work very hard and earnestly for everything that we have. You know, so, and they understand that now. Now they're teenagers. I think we've poured into them as much as we could, you know, and now they're, you know, ready for the world in a sense, you know, ready to take on certain things at their own pace and to, you know, just try to navigate through life as we try to guide them the best way that we can.
The humility with which you speak is so inspiring, Deborah. It is, you are right. It's the small moments. It's incredible that all three of your kids are on their own creative journeys. And how much of this is nature versus nurture?
I think it's definitely a bit of both. It's a bit of, I would say 70% nature and 30% nurture. I think I had to really understand that every child is different. You know, growing up, I grew up in a Caribbean household and all of us were treated the same way. We all wore the same clothes. We all, you know, it was a very, you just kind of used what you had and you just, you know, figured it out along the way. My mother was very, very hands-on, but she also had to work, you know, and my parents had to really, it was tough beginnings, very humble beginnings. I remember always going to school hungry, coming home and we had to make our, you know, I was a latchkey kid, you know, when we got home, we made our own sort of snack kind of thing and we turned on Oprah Winfrey and that was, you know, our hour of hope and inspiration to see her and what she had achieved and accomplished and go, wow, there's more out there, you know what I mean, for Black women. So she was like the first television person that I saw that showed and exemplified that there is hope. So, you know, you just carry on doing what you do. And so the same with the kids, you know, I understood that at a very early age that Isaiah was different from Samaya and Samaya is different from Kayla and each of them learned differently and expressed love in a different way. And so we learned that over the years. So yeah, there's no manual to this parenting thing.
That is
very, absolutely.
Give yourself grace and take it one day at a time and don't put so much pressure on yourself as a mother, as a wife, as a person. I think we are way too hard on ourselves.
I'm so glad that you brought that up.
No one has this thing figured out perfectly.
No, you know? We don't. And I'm so glad you brought it up because a lot of our listeners are young parents, new parents who are just trying to navigate and don't really understand that you will have to make those tough calls and you will face challenges that make you question, am I a good parent or am I really invested in my career? And to that point, Deborah, I would love to find out from you because you've had so many opportunities presented to you and I'm sure you've had to sometimes make trade-offs. Can you share with the audience a time when an opportunity may have benefited your career, but it would have been challenging for your family or vice versa? and how'd you navigate that?
I remember auditioning for the movie Ray. Mm-hmm. But I remember being very, very close to that opportunity. And then I found out that I had gotten pregnant with Isaiah. Mm. And then the next call back when I talked to the producers and everybody, we were very much in contact. They were like, well, her character actually gets pregnant in the film. Yeah, but then the very last sort of moment to get in front of the real team, I was so far along that I wasn't able to travel.
Oh my goodness.
You've been so incredible. Like, you know, I was thinking about
what you... At the time, I thought, oh my gosh.
It's over. Right, exactly. That's it.
Kerry Washington was the one that played that role.
Oh,
and
wow.
And played it beautifully. But, and the character, you know, so it just, there are moments, that was one of them, there are moments where you just don't know. What the end result is going to be. But it turned out that I had gestational diabetes, so I needed to rest. I needed to take care of myself with this baby that was going to be born, you know, weeks later. I couldn't just be flying and shooting and doing all that anyway.
Right.
So, you know, so I think it's important to, I say this all the time, that no is just like your redirection is just putting you in a new direction.
New direction. Yeah.
You know, and exactly. You don't know it at the time.
I also see how you moved that into an opportunity, because you had your fourth album release when Isaiah was born, and then it almost seems like you've had these creative spurts as you've been pregnant with the kids. You've had you had your fifth and your sixth albums released around the same time as your children were born.
That's right.
So it is so incredible that you turned that corner and moved in a different direction.
Yeah, I think that's what's been my thing. As a door closes, another one opens, and I just wait for it to open. I don't force anything. I don't chase anything anymore. Like, I used to be that hamster on the wheel all the time. I used to just be constant, because that's the only life that I knew. That was the only, that was the way that I knew it would get me out of poverty. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I knew that I just didn't want to be poor, in short. So it was like, okay, yeah. This is a session. Okay. I'll sing to that session. I'll do, you know, backgrounds. I do whatever it took to, whatever the gig called for. I was there, you know, to represent and do what I needed to do. And I think that sort of discipline and work ethic is what brought me to this point. And LaSalle's is the same. He's very much, I mean, we really have to be mindful of it, because, you know, we've missed a lot of personal things when we moved out to LA to pursue our dream. But we missed a lot of weddings. We missed a lot of birthdays, you know, family functions. You know what I mean? You become the outsider as you're chasing your dream. Right. But that's what it takes sometimes, the sacrifice.
But I think our listeners will appreciate that, because so many folks can relate to just not wanting to be poor and feeling like that's in the back of their mind.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Later on in 2000, when I had the opportunity to go to Uganda, we did a lot of, work around, you know, the AIDS epidemic to just raise awareness about what was going on out there in Mozambique. I mean, there was literally generations being wiped out. Like, these kids were left as orphans with no parents, no grandparents, because they were all wiped out because of the AIDS epidemic. And that was when it put just a fire under me to, like, just keep fighting through it, you know what I mean? And to figure out how to use my platform, whenever I had a platform, to just try to do good in the world and just keep moving forward. So that has always just been my thing, is just keep moving forward and other opportunities end up in your path that you can say yes to or no to, because the opportunities just keep going on. You remember that game Frogger?
Frogger, yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
that's how opportunities are, right? You jump, the lily pads come into view,
yeah.
And then you jump on the lily pad to figure out, but you keep moving forward though. So that's an analogy for the morning.
Did you take your kids on your travels? Did they see, you know, how mom was trying to change the world, dad was trying to change the world?
Yes. Almost out of the womb. No, I mean, they were very young when they started traveling. I mean, Samaya was just 6 months when we took her to Bali. That was a beautiful moment. Isaiah has been traveling. I mean, when I was on Broadway, I was nursing him in between acts. That's when we found out also that he had a lot of allergies, a lot of food allergies. So we found out a lot of things while we were on the road. And again, we just had to figure it out, you know, and navigate through it. But again, if you can find your support system, your real tribe, your people that got your back when the good times are good and when the bad times are bad, like those consistent people in your life, then you're good. And I've been very blessed to have that. A lot of really consistent people in my life, family and friends, have been really dear to me.
And I understand that your kids are homeschooled now, but they weren't always. Was there anything that made you make that call?
Well, the homeschooling started early for them. My older two were homeschooled for like second and third grade. They went to public school for a year, then went homeschooled for second and third grade because I was touring with a Broadway show. And then they went back to a school so we could have all of them together in one school. And then the Parkland shooting happened. And that completely changed our whole world. This lovely, safe suburb that we thought we lived in was we were just drowning in grief and just sadness. And it was a really, really tough time. So we took them out of school and homeschooled them again and figured out a new routine. I continued working, you know, and we figured it out as a family. So they were homeschooled again, and then the pandemic hit. So it's like, okay. So right when Samaya was getting ready to transition into high school and Zay was getting ready to go to college, it was like, we got to figure this out during a pandemic. Now what do we do?
Yeah, but I bet they were more prepared than most kids.
I know. Yeah, they were prepared. Home. Yeah, they understood, but they were like ready to spread their wings, you know, and get out into the world. But, you know, what we did take away from the sort of lockdown and the pandemic was, I think we learned a lot more about each other and what our wants and needs are. And we realized that we are a family of resilience.
I love that. You really did a good job of making the most of it and learning that you're a resilient family. Meanwhile, I was like taking pictures of my son, me shaving his head.
And I moved my family in the middle of the pandemic to another country. So,
you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And halfway across the world. So from India to the US.
Wait, what? We should be talking to you. How do you do that during a pandemic? What?
Yeah. And, you know, I think it tests resilience, and it's all the things that you said. You reflected back on it. And I think we got through it because we were a resilient, close family. We could talk about everything. It was great for the kids, but it was also difficult for them to settle into a whole new environment.
I can't even imagine what that's like, because these kids are very isolated. You know, you're FaceTiming and you're doing everything virtually, so there's no connection. Now our daughter's, you know, she's in 11th grade and she's having a tough time even finding friends, or because everyone else is connected since 9th grade. She's entering in 11th, so she doesn't have no history there at the school. So it took a long time. It was very difficult, especially the first few months when she cried every day. It was tough. So I was just happy that, you know, we're here to talk and keep the communication going, because that's what it's about. You got to talk to these kids and get them to open up. Because it's a very different generation, you know. I'm still learning them, still learning how they just, you know, just their love language. I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, I think it's their need for validation externally is so different from ours. Yeah. We are women who look at ourselves and we say we're moving forward. There's that process, but for them, approval and seeking that approval from others seems really front and center. So it's an interesting dynamic learning from that process.
But I feel like as mothers, we internalize all of our kids' pain. So Deborah, like with the allergy situation, I know that well. My son has an egg allergy, and it's just even the smallest things of people offering gum. Like I feel like, oh my God, I can't believe you have an egg allergy and I just hate life. Like, but he's like, I don't even care, Ma. But you take everything. With these kids, it's like we take everything that's going on with them and it just becomes ours. And yeah, we're resilient, but still, like, we need moments too,
I feel like.
Yeah, how do you decompress from the full right. day of taking on everyone's burdens and problems and being that listener and being that one to, you know, save the day and then, you know, prepare the meals and or get the kids together and organize for the next day for school? Like, it's a lot. Like, we multitask and we do it unapologetically, and we do it with a smile and with tears in our eyes or with a glass of wine. So it just, I think you just have to, again, that's where I say it's about grace, like give yourself some grace. I've been watching a lot of Michelle Obama's, you know, her sort of her podcast, and got her both, of course, our daughter Kayla, her middle name is Michelle because of Michelle Obama. How much that woman has inspired me. But I feel like, you know, she tells it like it is. She's like, there's some days where I feel unappreciated. And there's some days where I feel unloved. But I'm happy that I'm with a husband that reminds me of my worth. And again, I have the same type of husband. You know, he validates me. He lets me know that I'm appreciated. He lets me know and he sees me. He understands, you know, that it's a lot, you know, and I think when you have a partner in it that understands and can see and empathize with you, then that just, that helps the whole, you know, that helps you to keep going. And I don't know, a lot of women don't necessarily have that, and you kind of have to find that moment within yourself to do that, to be your own champion. But sometimes it helps to have that other person, you know, outside of yourself to just give you that extra oomph and validate you.
I love that. My husband right now is probably in second grade math, the person who gives me that validation and oomph.
God bless.
My little man. There's nothing like, all three of us are boy moms. There's nothing like being a boy mom, isn't it?
I know. It's amazing. It is amazing.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could say that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm joking. I don't get texts the way, in the timely manner that I would like a text. I'd like to hear from my son a little bit more often, but I understand that he's...
There, you've said it publicly. Hopefully he's listening into our podcast.
Yes. But he knows. He's like, Mom, I just spoke to you yesterday. But still, I want to hear from you every day.
Right. Exactly. Oh, no. I mean, it's the boy mom love. It's just that mother son relationship. Exactly. Thank you so much, Deborah, for being a part of the Work Life Equation podcast.
Of course, it's
always great to talk to you.
You are just absolutely amazing. What can listeners expect from you next besides being on Broadway, movies, TV, film, albums, everything?
A lot going on in my world, but right now we've got the first Wives Club, which is a really fun romantic comedy. It's on BET Plus right now. It'll be on BET later on or next year. And it's just a fun series that sort of explores all of some of the topics that we've been talking to. You know, your connection to your spouse, you know, life as a woman over 40, like trying to figure it out. In a comedic way. So I had a really great time shooting it, and it's finally done, and it's out with Jill Scott, Michelle Buteau, Michelle Michener. It's really, really well done, and it's a lot of fun. So you can check that out. I will be launching our rosé as well. So look out for that. It's kazaisu.com. And then I
I've just executive produced an independent film,
and that'll be out next year. And a lot of other fun things that I can't really talk about, but there's a lot going on, and I thank you for the support and for giving me another opportunity to kind of let people know what's going on in my life.
Priya, do you, I know that some of the conversation we had today, especially with our here we go moment, was around kids and letting them pursue their passion and letting them be a part of the arts and that the importance of that in their journey. Does Bright Horizons have any resources around that?
Yeah, we're all about kids, but you know, I'm the fact that we're three women here, I think, how to raise confident girls, talking to children about kindness, empathy, just being good citizens. There's tons of resources on brighthorizons.com, so people can go look this up and we'll find things there.
I love it. And I always like to leave us, and Priya and I like to leave with a thought of the week. My thought of the week, Deborah, was really about Frogger and understanding that a no could mean a yes to another opportunity. And I think in your instance, it led to 7 other opportunities. It led to multiple albums. It led to being on Broadway. So a no doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the road for you. And I guess, you know, taking it back to my Shiro as well, and it sounds like yours, Oprah, what I know for sure, as she says on her podcast, is that no's aren't the end of the world, which is a good way to end.
And to add to that, what I know for sure is that I don't know for sure.
Yes. I love
that. You know
what
I mean? And there's and I think that's it. It's like we try to constantly figure it all out, but we don't know. So just go with the flow.
I love it. What about you, Priya? What's your thought of the week?
I think the fact that you can reinvent yourself and, you know, you, it's similar to both of yours, which is the fact that you can continue to try new things. And I'm so inspired by the fact that there's a rosé on the way and there's an executive producership on the way, that these can be new avenues and you can grow and you can continue to grow as long as you're curious. So
love it.
Bright Horizons is the world's most trusted education and care company. We partner with employers to provide exceptional early learning, family care, and workforce education that not only transform lives, but also organizations. Because we believe education and care change our world, one child, one family, one organization at a time. Are you looking for a job? Visit careers.brighthorizons.com, where you can join our talent community and receive the most up-to-date news and events at Bright Horizons. Follow us on social media to stay up-to-date on company news, join our live events, and see what's happening in our magical centers. Join us by following Bright Horizons on LinkedIn and at Bright Horizons on Instagram now.
Well, listeners, you have just listened to an episode of The Work-Life Equation with Christine Michelle Carter and Priya Krishnan. Until next time.